Before you start, maybe some of you don't know me. My name is Ross van Niekerk. That's my beautiful wife there, Margriet, sitting here as well. We are from the congregation in Tigerberg, and it's really a pleasure to be here this morning. And I just want to thank you as a church. It's so very practical, but the Bible says God invites us to be partakers and to be partners with Him. We are partners, co-laborers with Christ, the Bible calls it. That just means that you work with God, I work with God, and God chooses to work with us. And on a very practical level, I just want to thank you as a church in Stellenbosch, because we know that the vision was birthed here, and the vision, I don't mean like Fred's vision, I just mean that God's plan of redemption through this body was born here. And practically, I want to thank you because of the giving of this church. We've been able as a shofar body to plant 15 churches, and we're continuing to plant churches. So I just want to say that the money that you give, the prayers that you give, the ministry that you give, the people that you disciple here, is really touching and reaching nations. So I just want to thank you so much, and I want to say that God sees it and God remembers it always. That's one thing I noticed from God in the Bible. God always remembers the gifts that you give. God always remembers. That's why, you know, while the Holy Spirit was first poured out on Cornelius and his household, because God remembered his prayers and his offerings. God says, because you remember, I remember that, and I'm going to respond to that. So I just want you to know that God really responds, and God remembers what you're doing, what you give, and we as a church are thankful so much for what you're doing. The Lord is still saving many people all over the world because of your gifts. I'm going to share a very simple word this morning, and I always say it when I come here. I think I say it because Fred doesn't share simple words, and therefore when I come here, I have to say that I share a simple word so that you can think that I'm bright and sharp and stuff like that. It's a grappie. It's not Xima. It's a grappie. But I'm going to share a word. Since the beginning of the year, I've been dreaming a lot. And when I speak about dreaming, I don't mean that I'm dreaming about me standing on the stage or me surfing or me doing stuff like that. I just mean that actually when I sleep at night, I dream lots of dreams. And I want to ask you a question. What do you dream about when you sleep at night? What are the things that you dream? And I'm not speaking about your purpose and your vision and God's plan. I'm not speaking about those things. I just mean, when you close your eyes and you fall asleep, what do you dream about? What are the things that you dream? And does your dreams, are they significant? Do they mean anything? Is there a message in your dreams? Is God speaking to you in your dreams? Or is your body speaking to you in dreams? One of the first signs, the reason why I'm asking that is because there's a scripture in Job, and we can just jump to that, where in Job, I'm trying to find the scripture. It says, for God speaks in many, in one way or two, and man does not perceive. And in a dream and in a vision at night, when he sleeps, when he falls on men, while they slumber on their beds, God speaks in dreams to us at night. So dreams can be spiritually by God, can be inspired. And straight throughout the Bible, I always thought that's quite obvious, that God speaks in dreams. Remember Pharaoh, remember Nebuchadnezzar, remember Joseph, remember Isaac, remember so many people, remember Joseph in the New Testament. Remember so many examples about God speaking to people in dreams, and actually the people had to respond, or sometimes they didn't have to respond. They were just like, okay, thank you, God, you still know about me. Thank you that you have a personal message, you played this personal movie for me. I received this message from you. But as we know that, and as I was reading about this, because I've been having lots of dreams recently, I just started reading, and I saw that many people today and many Bible commentators honestly believe that there is nothing like a dream from God. That all dreams are just, you know, just your own imagination or just your own mind processing and filing stuff, and that's all there is to it. And that's quite sad if you refuse to believe that God actually is able, that the Almighty God is able to speak to you while you're sleeping. I mean, people write movies about things like that. While you were sleeping in Seattle, all those movies are actually God. You know, it's not God speaking to you, but it means that there's a message in your dreams. Let me just give you three examples where dreams come from. The first one, and this is quite obvious. Let me explain it to you in a way in which you will understand it. You can maybe relate to it. Last year was quite a cold winter for me. And my wife, Margriet, is a doctor, and she was working the one night. working late, and I was at the office till late. We had some ministry there. After intercession, I drove home to Somerset West where we stay. I quickly went, popped in at the hospital, just gave her hot chocolate and KFC, and drove home. And, it's nice. And then as I went home, I was very tired. It was one of those weeks where nothing stops. I was really, really tired. And I got into my bed, just didn't even take a shower. It's bad, eh? And I just put on my pajamas, and I climbed in my bed. And the bed was icy cold, and I just leaned over, and I just switched on the electric blanket on preheat. Just when I could gebeur in die bed, it was baie koud geweest. And later that night, I awoke from a hectic dream. I dreamed that I was like in a fire, and the building was on fire, and everything is burning. It doesn't matter which way I turn on the bed, it was on fire. And I woke up, and I saw that, okay, my bed is still on preheat setting. I'm going to die. I'm being cooked in my own bed. So obviously that dream wasn't inspired by God. It was just inspired by my electric blanket and my silliness. There was another example. We grew up, we always had lots of dogs in the house, and it was so nice having dogs. And I remember the one morning, I was still at school, I woke up, and I woke up from a dream, and I was dreaming I was in a car wash. And I was walking through the car wash, and stuff was just like, you know, those spinners, they were splashing in my face. And I woke up, and I saw the dog standing next to the bed licking my face. So that dream was probably not inspired by God either. It was just me dreaming. And we have many, many stupid dreams like that. Or maybe you're overeating and you have an acid reflux and maybe you feel you're burning on the inside. Maybe it was just your two hamburgers before you went to bed and not God speaking to you. So first of all, dreams can be inspired just by psychological or physiological like stimuli, whether it's your foot hanging outside or whether someone, oh, many of you have these dreams. You dream, and all of a sudden you dream there's a fire truck driving past your house. And meanwhile, it's just your alarm clock going beep, 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 and then you switch it and the fire truck stops. So it's just a physiological response. Second, the Bible says that dreams can be inspired by much busyness, much activity, much thinking. That's just your brain processing. What happened through the day, psychologists tell us that when you sleep at night, your dreams actually just, your brain is just processing and filing and ordering the events of the day, just sort of a memory bank being built up. So it's nothing really deep, but it's just your thoughts of the day. And you know it, if you've been watching 24 series for like a marathon over the weekend, or you watched Alias or CSI, what you've been doing in the day, you will dream of at night. So that's dangerous. Or sometimes you just remember a horror movie that you were watching when we were kids. If it's something hectic that like pulls at your heart while you're watching a movie and at night you're sleeping, you think about that and you dream that. You dream, you live yourself into that dream because your brain is still processing and wants to know what to do with this information. Or you write an exam, you've been stressed about exams, and in exam time, some of the students can remember that. And you dream, you walk into an exam paper and you miss your exam. Or you, something, just because you're thinking about those things. So it's just the Bible says, Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, it just writes that comes with much busyness. But then lastly, and this is what I want to speak about today, is there definitely many examples of in Scripture where the Bible says that we dream dreams because it's God speaking to us. In fact, that's one of the sure signs of the new covenant, where God says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on sons and your daughters. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions because the Lord pours his spirit upon all flesh. And that's one of the signs, but Lord God says, I want to do it. And one of the first things that God says comes from the spirit is dreams, visions, prophecy. God speaking to us by means that we didn't perceive it beforehand. That means it doesn't come from your own mind. It doesn't come from meditation. It just comes from God speaking supernaturally to you because he wants to. And I love the fact that God wants to speak to us in dreams. Let me just mention before I go on, some people think that the reason why you're not dreaming dreams because God says he only gives it to old people. But looking through the scripture, you obviously know that Joseph was a young man when he had the dreams, when he told his brothers that, you know, I'm going to be greater than all of you and I'm going to stand on the hill and all of you are going to bow down to me. I'm going to be the sun and the moon and everything. You know those dreams of his? He was a young man. Solomon was a young man when he was king. And his dad passed away, and God says, Solomon, what do you want? God came in a dream and said, I want to give you something. What do you want? And there are many examples where God actually gave dreams to young people. So it doesn't just mean, it's just they call it Hebrew poetry form. It's called Hebraic parallelism. So it just means that visions, dreams, old men, young people, prophecy, it doesn't mean it goes in that order. It just means all those information, receive it as it is. God wants to give everything to all people. But the reason why I think God gives us dreams is quite simply because we can't argue or think or act or put up a face or a show before God. When God comes in a dream, he has time to download the message just as he has it, and you receive it without interruption. So your conscious mind is asleep, but you know that your spirit and your mind is awake. You receive the message from God. So the reason why God, I believe God gives us dreams is quite simply because you can't work against God. You can't interfere. God just gives a dream, and you receive it as it is. So let's look at a few examples just from Scripture that we can see God working or delivering dreams. The first one is Abraham. God made a covenant with him, and we'll come back to this later. God saying, Abraham, I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. The second one is Jacob. First of all, he had a dream at a night. He was fleeing his brother. His brother Esau was going to kill him, and he fled to Laban. And as he was on his way to Laban, he was very tired. He went to sleep at night. And then it happened as he laid his head in the night on the stone. He had a dream, and he saw in this dream, but it was a real experience to him, he saw Jesus with all the angels coming up and down on a ladder in that place, meeting with him. He saw that God is actually meeting in that place. He had a revelation while he was sleeping. Do you know what's the difference between a dream and a vision? The one you're sleeping and the one you're awake. That's the only difference, biblically speaking. So he had a vision when the Bible says a vision at night, it just means a dream. When the Bible says a dream at day, it just means a vision, or you're sleeping, taking a nap in your maths class. So God was speaking right there. And later on, we see Jacob had another dream, and we'll look at the scripture a bit later. He was fleeing from Laban. And then we see Joseph. This is Joseph, the son of Isaac, and he had a dream in a place, and he interpreted dreams, telling his brothers that he's going to be the head of all things. And then we see Solomon and many of the other examples in Scripture. New examples, New Testament examples, just three of those. Only six times, actually, in the New Testament, we see people having dreams inspired by God. Only six times. It's interesting to note that it only comes in Matthew's gospel. Luke and John didn't refer to it at all, but Matthew did. And most probably because Matthew was written to the Jews. And the Jews had no problem, especially in the intertestamental time. They had lots of wisdom poetry and lots of superstition, actually. So they had no problem to receive the fact that God was actually speaking to dreams. It was easy for them to receive, while the Greeks didn't like it at all because it wasn't enlightened enough. And also in Acts, we see quite a few examples. But this is God speaking to his people, to his servants who were in covenant with him. But it's interesting to note that God gives dreams not only to those who are in relationship with him, to those who actually follow him, to those who serve him. God gives dreams to all people. And that's quite interesting. God is not a respecter of persons, because when you're sleeping, you can receive a message from God and know it's from God and have no problem with it. I'm going to show you some examples. First one is Abimelech. And Abimelech, you remember the story? Abram went and he stayed in this area, and he had a very, very hot wife, very beautiful wife, very desirable wife. And Abimelech saw her, and Abram was afraid. And the words, I always remember those words. It's like our society today. Abram said to his wife, listen, Sarah, I perceive that there's no fear of God in this place. I see that people live like they want to, when they want to, and they're not afraid of any judgment or any consequences from their action. There's no fear of God in this place. No one respects God or God's moral law. So if, because you're hot and beautiful, if they want you, they'll just kill me and have you. So let's just say that you're my sister, because, you know, somehow you are my sister. And then Abimelech took Sarah, and then in the night, the Bible says, in a short period, God, because God was in covenant with Abraham, acted on his behalf and went to Abimelech and said, Abimelech, I'm going to kill you if you do not return this man's wife to him. And then Abimelech was really, really angry with Abraham because he nearly caused him to die. The second incident there is the same thing. Laban was actually pursuing Jacob, who left him. And with his two daughters, with all that was his, he was sort of, he was an extortionist. He was changing the wages of Jacob all the time. And God actually, in a dream, came to Laban while he wanted to kill Jacob. And he pursued him. And then God said to Laban, "Listen, Laban, if you continue with this, I will kill you. I love you, therefore I'm warning you, don't touch Jacob, because I'm his God, and he's in covenant with me. I'm going to kill you if you touch him." That's amazing, huh? So God can speak to your boss as well. God can speak to anyone who has a desire to do you harm. And I believe God actually does, and he will, because he's in covenant with you. He says, "Listen, don't touch that guy. Don't touch Christelle, because I love her. If you do anything to her, I will kill you." That's a very simple message. And so God is warning pagan people. And you will see the next few examples, Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. The same thing, pagan kings, but because of their office, because God loved the people in the nation, God said, "Listen, this is what's going to happen with this nation. I want you to be prepared." Because so God can speak through kings, and I believe that he still does today. He speaks to kings and he speaks to presidents. For the sake of the people, he says, "This is what's going to happen. Be prepared, because I love the people. They should not die of hunger." And then New Testament example, God speaking to Pilate's wife, telling Pilate, "Listen, Pilate, don't be involved in the crucifixion of this man. He's a righteous man." And that was the dream. So from these examples, I'm just going to go and I'm going to show us quickly 6 ways in which God in the past used dreams. So it doesn't mean that's the only way God can use it, but it's 6 ways in the past in which God did use dreams, why he actually gave dreams. Are you ready? Can we do that? Is jy wakker? Ek gaan nie lank preek nie. So jy mag maar net so wakker wees vir die hele ene. First one, God reveals himself to someone in a dream, and that's what he did to what the Bible says. God said to Miriam and to Aaron, he says, "Hear my words, if there's a prophet among you, I the Lord make myself known to him in a vision, I speak to him in a dream." Where God says, the purpose of me revealing, giving this dream, is primarily point number one, to reveal myself to him, to show myself to him. And a few years ago, I received a DVD, and in the preparation of this word, I was actually looking for the same place again, Frontier Ministries. You can find them on the website. It's very interesting. People working primarily in the 1040 window in the Arabic or Islamic nations. And it was so amazing. And that's still today, even while I went this morning quickly to the website again, and I found some examples again of how Jesus reveals himself to people in a persecuted nation, in a nation where Christ may not be preached. The Bible says, "If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." Doesn't the Bible say that? So we see so many people with a real desire to meet God and a real sincere desire. And this website, and I found some other this morning as well, there are many, many, many instances and recorded instances where people actually have a sincere desire to meet Jesus and to meet God, and then they meet Jesus in a dream. The Lord Jesus speaks to them in a dream, and he quotes Scripture. What's so interesting is these people have no reference for Scripture. So they don't have a religion, they just have experience with God speaking to me in my dream. Just like we have these instances in the Bible. And I want you to know they're still the same today. That unbelievers have a meeting with God through Jesus in a dream. And I want you to know that it's the same for you. You can have a revelation of Jesus in a dream. And the only thing is you must just, it's not as though you must do anything. You must just receive it. So it's nothing on their part. It's these people in the Bible. Please note it. When we speak about people having and receiving dreams, they didn't do anything to receive the dream. It's just the dream came, and the Lord himself acted, and they had a dream. So the first instance is just having a revelation of God, who God is, meeting God, or God just sometimes has a conversation with you in your dream, as we see in the next one. Second one is relationship or to cut covenant. We see example of Abraham. Let me just quickly give you, this is before Abraham had a name change, and it came actually shortly after this. We see Abraham and his cousin Lot. journeyed, left their home country, Ur of the Chaldeans, and they went to a different place. And Lot said, no, I want the desirable, beautiful place there, Sodom and Gomorrah. We know how that played out. It wasn't a good choice. And Abraham was on the other side in the desert and the arid land. The Lord blessed Abraham. And because they were family, someone came to him, ran to Abraham because Abraham became wealthy and mighty. Mighty means he had lots of wealth. He had lots of hired servants who were battle-trained. He was really a wealthy guy. He had his bodyguards. And this man ran to Abraham and said, Abraham, we've got bad news. There was a war. Three kings came against the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and two other places because there was a rebellion. And lots of people in Sodom were taken captive, and your cousin Lot was taken captive. Everything he has is taken captive. He's now a slave. And Abraham said, no, it's fine. And he grabbed everything he had, all his soldiers, and he went after, and there was a massive battle. And Abraham, the one guy, delivered them from all five of those kings. So he was like a mighty warrior. And he came back, and the king of Sodom said, listen, because you returned all the people and all the wealth plus plunder, we want to give you gifts to thank you. We want to pay you for the service you did. And then Abram said, no way. There's no way that anyone must ever say that Abram was made wealthy by a man. Abram will not be made wealthy by a man. Abram is blessed by God, because God says he will bless me. And that night, the Bible says that Abram had a dream, and he slept. And the first thing that the Lord said to him, Abram, I'm your shield who protect you against warriors, and I am your exceedingly great reward. So God made a covenant with Abraham. He says, forever, Abraham, I want you to know that I'm for you. I will forever protect you, and I will forever bless you. But your real reward is in relationship with me. I'm the one who gives you wealth. And it was a dream that Abraham had. The second one, similar, is the Lord making covenant with Solomon. And it wasn't really a covenant as much as it was just God having a relationship and conversation with Solomon in his sleep. He had a real conversation. And Solomon recorded this. This is where his wisdom came from. Solomon was sleeping. The Lord said to him, appeared to him and said, Solomon, ask whatever you want, and I want to bless you with something. What do you want? What do you want? And Solomon said, Lord, I want wisdom. He says, that's a good question. That's a good answer. And the Lord blessed him with wealth and with wisdom, everything that he desired. But it happened while he was sleeping. And I say to you, the Lord can do the same to you. Third one. You know what I like about that story, about God coming to Abram, to Solomon in a dream? This is what I love about the fact that God gives dreams. It's extremely personal. God knows your address. God knows where you sleep. God knows where you stay. He comes to you at night, and he wants to just reveal himself to you, and he wants to have a message that is personal for you. God communicates to you in the way in which you receive it. That's why all these... Maybe some of you have read these books about dream interpretations and stuff, and I want to say it's very dangerous to do that because, you know, the Bible was written over a period of, 1,500 rand, but, rand, maybe, 1,500 years, but it actually spans a 3,500 year history. So it's a long history with people living on three continents, 40 languages, of three languages and 40 different authors. So it means that you can't just take something from the Bible and say that frogs meant that in Egypt, so frog means this for me in my dream. That's extremely dangerous because you don't live in an agricultural place where you're a slave and where you build pyramids and you think that frogs are demons. So it's very dangerous to just do that. So dreams is very personal. God gives you a dream that you can understand, that he wants to communicate to you personally. So don't go technical on this thing. Just say, Lord, you speak to me. What does a frog mean for me? It means it's green and disgusting. Or maybe you work in a laboratory. And the Lord just means that a frog means to you, I don't know, something technical. Okay. Dit was nie so diep gewees nie. So the third thing, first of all, we see that God spoke in dreams to reveal himself, and secondly, as a means of cutting covenant or making a relationship with you. The third thing we see is the Lord warning people of danger. And in Matthew, if you read the book of Matthew, you'll see in the first two chapters, we see quite a few warnings from God in dreams and visitations with the birth of Jesus. So the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod to tell him that they found the Christ, the King. They were warned in a dream. Please remember again, pagan people. I know that they came to pay homage to Jesus, but they weren't believers in the sense that we are believers or in the sense that Shrek is a believer. Not at all. But it's actually just the Lord coming and warning them, saying, do not return, because if you return to that man, you will die. He will kill you, and he will come and kill Joseph and his family and Jesus. And the second thing, the Lord warned Joseph twice. First one in a dream, he said, Joseph, flee, run to Egypt. Don't you think it's funny? I always think it's funny. This is Jesus, the Savior of the world. There are many angels all around Bethlehem. Jesus, the Savior of the world, is born. God himself incarnates. And the message from the Lord is, message from God is, take the baby and flee, because you're going to get killed if you stay in this area. But the Lord did it in a dream. He warned him to flee the scene, because if you stay here, you will die. And I love that. God is actually just saying, please move, because death is coming. And then later on, Joseph again had a report, and he was afraid, and he had a dream, saying, you can return again to Nazareth, to the place where you come from, because the Lord says, the oppressor has passed away. You can go back to his warnings. And I told you about the other two warnings, where God warned Abimelech and Laban, do not touch the person that I love. Do not touch Jacob, and do not touch, what was the other one? Abraham. So the Lord just giving warning through a dream. So dreams, warnings, third one, the fourth one, to reveal future events. And this is what we actually know a lot about in the Bible when we speak about dreams. God saying the future, this will happen. So it's a prophetic picture. It's a picture of wisdom of the future. God saying the following events will take place in a dream. And a few examples here. The first one is Joseph, who interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh and the baker and the cupbearer, interpreting their dreams, saying God is giving you a message about the future. And the reason why God did it to Pharaoh is so that the whole nation can be preserved in the time of famine, so that enough can be stored up. The next one, God giving a dream to Nebuchadnezzar in two instances. Twice he gave a dream, and the reason why he gave a dream was quite simply to tell him what will happen in the future. And even if you just look at Daniel chapter 7, many of the prophecies that we have in the Bible, especially Daniel's prophecies, were dreams that he had. Sometimes he was awake and he called it a vision. Sometimes he's asleep and he called it a dream. But he sees a lot of things and he stands up and he writes it down. And the reason why we have it recorded in the Bible is because it was a dream that he had. And it's interesting to note, many times we go really, really deep in the dreams and what it means for us today. But the original intent was quite simply, in all three of these cases, was political. And there was a reason to do something today. You received a dream because for the next 7 years there will be lots of food, and for the next 7 years there will be nothing. Very practical. Please do this. Save this nation from a dream. Daniel's dreams was the same. Nebuchadnezzar received a few dreams. The first one he received about the fact that he is going to have, in Babylon, going to have an extremely powerful regime that will not be challenged at all. And then a few things will happen, then the Persians will come, and then the Greeks will come, and all this. And it's very practical dreams about the kingdom that is on the earth, the strength of the empire. And it's very interesting. So it's just about the future, saying prepare for the future. The next one, Lord speaks through dreams to reveal future callings. I once had someone say to me, and there's lots of wisdom in it, but today I think a bit different. The person said to me that when you receive a dream, how do you know the dream is of God, and how do you know the dream is just of Ross, or how do you know the dream is just of your food or the alarm or whatever those things? How do you distinguish whether a dream is yours or whether a dream is from God? And he says what he does, first of all, he just cancels out anything about himself. If the dream is about him becoming the king or becoming the emperor, if the dream is him becoming a rock star, then he just canceled it out, because that's all pride, that's all about me. And that would be very sad, because then Joseph wouldn't have his Technicolor dream coat. We didn't have a play today. And Joseph wouldn't have paid any attention to the dreams he had. Two dreams, which was actually all about him being the coolest and the best. But it's all about God's purposes. So I want to say that please don't write anything off that is all about you. Just check your motive, check your heart. Do you want to exalt yourself? Do you want to be the coolest and the best? And that's a simple thing. But so the dream can be all about you, but all from God in the same time. Joseph had a dream. I had a dream recently, and I shared it with the elders in church, just my friends there in Tigerberg. And it was so cool, just about the Lord showing me how he sees me in a certain way. And it was really encouraging. Many times God just encourages you by showing you what you're going to do in the future and saying, stay strong, stay on this thing. The next one is just about to comfort. The Lord speaks to us, and this is the last one I want to mention, what I see in the Bible. God speaking to us simply just to comfort us, to give us peace in difficult times. I mentioned this before, but Laban was a family member of Jacob, and he was fleeing his brother, went to Laban, found a wife there, found an extra wife which he didn't bargain on. He married two wives there, both the man's daughters, and he employed him. He became extremely wealthy. Whatever he did, he became wealthy because God blessed him, because of the blessing that his dad spoke over him. Whatever came to him, God blessed him. Doesn't matter. Laban changed his wages all the time. He says, you can have that, you can have that. And whatever Laban said, you can have that, became the most increasing. So he became stronger and stronger and wealthier than the man whom he was working for, which obviously freaked Laban out because he was supposed to enrich him by working for him. But God blessed him. And Laban obviously perceived that. And Laban was very unfair and extremely aggressive towards Jacob. And eventually Jacob just couldn't take it anymore. And he fled the scene. But before he did that, while he was going through this extremely difficult time, the Lord gave him a dream. In the dream, the Lord said, Jacob, and he said, yes, Lord, this is me. And he said, lift up your eyes and see all the goats mate with the flocks, and stripes spotted and malted, for I've seen what Laban is doing to you. And he was just speaking, saying, listen, don't worry about which goats you get and stuff, because everything I'm giving to you. God says, I really bless you. And it was just encouraging. And Jacob just found strength in the fact that the Lord knows about his crisis. And the Lord said, I'm with you in your crisis. And the Lord says, you'll be fine. You'll turn out all right. I'm going to preserve you in it. So God just says the same. And many times in a dream, God can just simply say that to you. I had a dream again last week where the Lord said, I have something in my heart that I'm really trusting God for. And the Lord just showed me, saying, Ross, this is what's going to happen. This is how this movie is going to play out. This is the end will be like this. I just want you to know that I'm aware of the whole situation. And God says, I see the desires in your heart, whether you pray about it or not. I'm answering your questions. And that was so cool for me. And the next one, same comfort. This is a funny dream for me. Because again, God was speaking to Midianite hired soldiers. And I always find it funny. You know, Gideon, the Lord came to Gideon. And Gideon said, I'm the loser of all the losers. And my family is the loser in the clan. And the clan is the loser clan. And my tribe is the loser tribe. Lord, I'm the weakest of the weak. And the Lord says, yes, but I see and I say that you're a mighty warrior. And he was a very timid, fearful man. And that's something that we see about Gideon actually straight throughout his life, that he's a timid man. And the funny thing is that he was so afraid and so scared, Gideon, the judge. And after he got his 300 soldiers that were now alert and awake and they were action-ready guys, they were people who were aware and perceived lots of things, we see that he was so afraid because 10,000 Midianites is coming to war against the 300 Israelites. Now, we know how the story plays out, but at that time, he didn't know it yet. He was really afraid. But the funny thing is this very afraid, very timid man, because he's afraid, he goes into the camp, the Midianite camp where the 10,000 soldiers were sleeping. And he goes as a spy into the camp to find out what's happening on the inside. I just find that so strange. He's afraid and his fear makes him do the most courageous thing. Anyway, that's very strange. So he goes inside, he's walking past his tent, and for those of you who've been camping, you can see the silhouettes because there's a fire burning or a lamp burning on the inside of the tent, and the two guys are having conversation at night. The one guy just shook his friend and said, listen, this is what happened. I had a very strange dream, and I think it's significant. And his friend said, what happened? He said, no, I just saw, and I saw on the hill up there, a small stone started rolling, rolling, rolling until it became a massive stone, and then it wiped the whole camp, and all of us wiped. And the other guy, also weird, a pagan Midianite guy, received an interpretation of the dream from God, and he said, that's Gideon. We're all going to be killed by Gideon. And then Gideon obviously was strengthened and encouraged because God comforted him through a dream of a pagan Midianite guide and a pagan Midianite interpreter. And he went, and then they just slaughtered all of them. So it's a really cool story. But the point is, God comforts many. And another place, you remember the dream that while I think he went to Corinth, Paul went to Corinth and he was preaching there. And the Lord, and he was very afraid because he's been persecuted lots of times in the previous places on his mission trips, and he was stoned a few times, not with dacha, with actually like rocks. He was nearly killed. He was killed a few times. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was excommunicated. His beard was plucked out. It was like hectic and shipwrecked lots of times. And he was in the city, and most probably the guy was just, honestly, he was really tired of being beaten all the time. He was just physically, he just couldn't take it anymore. And he had a dream in the night, and the Lord said, don't worry, Paul. Nothing's going to happen to you in this city. I have many people in this city. There's grace on this city. Don't worry. You won't get killed yet. You can just rest and preach and then take a break. We can get killed another day. So cool. So just comfort. The Lord speaks through comfort, warns of dangers, speaks about your future calling, what God has for you, and speaks about future events. And the Lord just reveals himself. So in Scripture, predominantly, that's what I see, the purpose of dreams. Not the purpose of dreams, but in the ways in which past God used dreams. So God can use, you can expect the same from God when you dream. So now, let me just ask you before I continue, how many of you just in the last 6 months had a dream which you know was definitely God speaking to you? Can I just see? Yes, I should make more altar calls like this. I see that hand. It's a grappy. Okay, so quite a few of you have received dreams and you know it was God speaking to you. So you still receive that. So I want to ask you, what do you do when you receive a dream from God? When you think a dream is from God, what do you do with the dream? Because I was going to say, the worst thing you can do is nothing. The worst thing you can do is you do nothing with this dream. You just let it go and just like, oh, thank you, God, and you move on. That's the worst thing you can do. Even if it's a dream of comfort, I want you just to take note of the few wisdom points I'm going to give you now. It's very straightforward, very obvious, but like anything that is biblical and correct, it is very simple, but just do it. Like 1 verse 1, just do, take heart to the very simple things I tell you now. The problem is, if you receive a dream, you know it, I know it. Sometimes we wake up at night, and there's a dream, or you think about something, or you awakened, and all of a sudden you have this is significant. And you think, okay, I'll remember this, and you sleep again. The next morning you wake up, and that's it. It's over. You missed it. Yeah, you missed the day of your visitation. It's like for Bay. It will never return to you again. God is gracious. He will return himself. Don't worry. But I'm just saying, you missed this opportunity. Sometimes a creative idea. I remember when I was still studying engineering, I woke up once or twice at night, and I wake up with this weird design. That's weird, sometimes it's gear systems and weird stuff. And I think, yeah, this is so cool. And like, okay, and then I sleep. And then the next morning, I know I dreamed something about gears, but I have no idea what I dreamed about a gear. So today I think maybe it was God speaking to me, or maybe it was just me being extremely ingenious in my sleep. So first thing you do is just write it down, just immediately. Write down the gist of what was dreamed. Not the whole story, not all the detail. The things that you perceive is important and significant. Because even if you just write a little bit down, I noticed this, you remember the whole dream because you wrote down 3 or 4 points. But write it down, because that is why Daniel, we have the prophecies and why stuff happened. And the same with the Lord said to Habakkuk while he was praying at night. He had a vision. He was awake when he had a dream. And the Lord Jesus said, write it down. Just write it down, first of all, so you can remember what it's about. Even if it's a word of comfort, I want to say that it really helps. Because since last year, I started keeping a journal. Before that, I didn't really keep a journal. because I wrote too much and I spent too little time with God because I was writing down everything that I thought was important. In the end, I just had a monologue. I just had a writing session, not a meeting with God. So I changed my style a bit. But today, sorry for sharing all of this. Jammer. But just write down what God actually says to you. Simple thing. Write it down, and then what you do, as you pray about it, don't just pray about it alone. It's a bit dangerous to always just think it's just you and God on a mission, and I'm sure as a church and as a community, we've moved far from that. We're much more closer in our cell groups, and we trust the people in our cell groups. But I'm going to say, whether it's the people in your cell, whether it's just friends, old friends, it's really important that when you pray about a dream that you really believe is significant from God, please involve a few of your friends. We can see Daniel doing the same. When Daniel had to pray for interpretation of a dream, it was a little bit different situation. But what Daniel did is he actually was wise enough to know that although he has the gift of dream interpretations, he was wise enough to involve his friends, saying, please pray with me because I want us to find the meaning of this dream. Involve them. God does it. Jesus did it. He involved the people, his disciples, with his own life all the time. And do the same. Get your friends together. Because the danger is that when you just pray for yourself, the Bible says deceitful is the heart above all things and desperately wicked. And we know it because it's easy to interpret anything, even the scripture, in the way in which you want to interpret it. But sometimes we miss God, not in what God said, but in our interpretation of what God said. Because we're extremely egocentric in our own ways. So just invite your friends and ask them, please. And even if you find an interpretation like Daniel did, tell it to your friends and say, what do you think? He says, no, we have the same feeling. That's cool. Thank you so much. This is from God. This is what I'm about to do. Third thing, and this is quite obvious. This is with the interpretation part. But I just like to mention it because I find it very funny. The first thing, sometimes God gives a dream, and then it's obvious that it can have either a literal interpretation or a figurative interpretation. And imagine getting this wrong. The chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and says, in my dream there was a vine before me, and the vine was three branches, and soon they budded. And you know the story, there was grapes, and then the grapes were eaten and plucked. Very beautiful. It's a figurative interpretation. They were in the jail. It had nothing to do with real grapes. It had everything to do with symbolic meaning of what the grapes meant for the cupbearer. The cupbearer was a cupbearer. He was pouring juice all the time. So he saw that he will be reinstated, and the baker had a dream about the bread being stolen, which means you will no longer be able to share your bread. You'll be decapitated. So it's a symbolic interpretation. But the next one, vision, was a night dream. Man from Macedonia was standing there urging Paul, saying, come here to Macedonia. Very literal interpretation. Very literal. It meant, please, Paul, come and preach. And we see Paul in the morning, he woke up. He responded to the dream. He took his bags and he went to Macedonia and he preached the gospel there and he strengthened the churches. And there was a massive outpouring of God, quite simply because Paul understood it to be a literal interpretation and not a symbolic interpretation. So just remember that in your dream. When you have a dream, just ask, can this be literal? Can this be symbolic? What does this mean for me? Fourth one, and just mention this because I believe all of you are wise enough to do it. Whatever the interpretation is, measure the interpretation with the word of God, not necessarily the dream. Measure the interpretation of the dream with the word. Because the Bible says, there we see a distinction between what is from Ross and what is from the Spirit of the Lord. What is from my desires and what is from God's interpretation. So there's a separation. There's an interpretation. Lord, please, this is what I perceive it to be. Lord, what do you think about this? And you read the word and study and just ask God, Lord, bring a difference between Ross's intentions and desires and your desires. And the Lord is very faithful to do this. The problem is we sometimes hear what we want to hear. And then the next one, fifth one, just two more. What do you do with the dreams? Before, as you receive an interpretation, I just want you to please remember this. And it will be 20 seconds. I just want to share with you. Please, guys. When the Lord gives you a dream and you have a revelation of what it means, make a scene. Have a big scene, even just in your inner room, close the door, and just praise God right there. Make a scene. Joseph, Daniel, got his friends together, and they celebrated big time. Okay, there's two reasons why they celebrated. Firstly, because God gave the interpretation as they asked, and secondly, because of the interpretation, they knew that it won't be decapitated the next day. So that's a good reason for celebration. God saved all the farsers, all the astrologers, and all those people who were wise people. But make a scene, because what I find many times is that we are so used to, in the charismatic church, God speaks, oh, thank you, God, for speaking, and you move on. You don't even thank God. You think it's all right, but it is awesome. This is God himself, Almighty God, coming to you at night and sharing his heart with you, whether it's his heart for you or for another person or for the country or whatever. God is actually coming to meet with you, and that's something to be celebrated. This is the King of the whole universe has a meeting with you. And I just want you to just thank God for the fact that he actually takes time. Well, not that God takes time. God takes your time to speak to you. But that's really awesome. So just make a scene, celebrate, have a big thing. Know it is significant. It is not something to be light. The God of the universe has a conversation with you. And lastly, very simply, praise God for Joseph and his skill of hinting. Because after Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he went on not just to interpret the dream, but to become practical about the dream. And this is really important for us as well. After you receive interpretation, what God says to you, say, for instance, you dream a dream, and you see yourself as a musician on a stage, singing to thousands and thousands of people somewhere. I don't know where you're going to sing. Maybe in Groenpan Stadion or something. But you see yourself singing there. Or maybe you see yourself like playing rugby in Newlands. Or maybe you see yourself as a doctor working in Transkei, doing open heart surgery in the bush. That's great. You can have those dreams. Please, if it's something and you understand this to be, God, I'm going to become a doctor. God, I'm going to become a singer and a songwriter. God, I'm going to become a rugby player. Please be practical about it. Because God can promise you that you're going to become an engineer. Unless you start doing maths and studying, you will never become an engineer. Is that very simple and very practical? That's not so difficult. So many times God gives us a promise and gives us a word, but it's very simple. God wants us to respond. That's the reason why he gives the word. He wants you to do something with the word. He wants you to act it out. He wants you to apply your faith with action and obedience and do something about it. And Joseph was wise enough to say to Pharaoh, God said there's going to be massive abundance and massive famine. Please appoint a wise man. Imagine Joseph standing there. He remembers his dream from the young age, saying, maybe you should look for a wise man among all your people in your nation and let this wise man govern your whole nation on your behalf. I wonder whether you can find such a wise man. And then Pharaoh is looking. He's like, dude, you're the only one who could interpret the dream. I think we should appoint you. And Joseph's like, obviously, he understood he's going to do that now. So we did it. So maybe you can interpret someone's dreams and become CEO of a company. So it's great. So just prepare and become practical, very simple, but work towards the thing. Put your faith with God's faith and say, Lord, I believe you say I can become that. Let's do this. And then you just start working like a machine and trust God for open doors in your life. So just in closing, Job 33, for God speaks in one way and in two, though a man does not perceive it, in a dream, vision of the night, when he's slumbering, when he's sleeping, God speaks. This is the scripture that I underlined in my notes there. But man don't always perceive it. All I want us to do from today's message is please be reminded of the dreams that God gave you. Ask the Lord to remind you. And secondly, when God does, please take note of it. Take note and write it down. It is possible that you were influenced by 24 or by, I don't know, Leon Schuster's movie or something like that. It is possible that you can be influenced by stuff. But please take a while and just write it down. Because usually in your spirit, you know this is significant. There's something in you that says, the Holy Spirit in you just says, this is of God. Take note. So when you take note, just write it down and start practical with the points. Because I believe God is going to speak more and more. Usually in very difficult times in the Bible, it is when God was releasing dreams to his individual people, to his people through dreams, he was speaking. It's usually in trying times and tough times. I think all of us would know that this is a bit of a tough time for now. Take note when God speaks to you. Okay. Don't you want to stand with me, please? Father, God, I thank you that you're the God who talks to us, Lord. And you're the God, Lord, who pours your spirit, and you poured your spirit on all of us, Lord. And we see dreams, God, and we dream visions, God. Lord, we understand and we see what you show to us, God, because you're able to communicate in the way in which we receive it. Thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you love us. And because you loved us, God, you redeemed us. You brought us to yourself, God. And more than that, Lord, you poured your spirit in us and you made us kings and queens, Lord. And you appointed us, God, in authority on this earth. We thank you, God, that you speak to us, God, because you love us. And sometimes you speak to us, God, because you love other people. So, Lord, we would just want to say, God, we confess, God, and I'm really sorry, God, for the times in which you spoke to me and to us, and we did not take heed to what you were saying. But I thank you this morning, God, that you're speaking and you're stirring our hearts. And even now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for our minds and our hearts and our spirits, Lord. I pray, God, we just want to say it is wide open, Lord, for you to speak to us. God, even like an antenna or a satellite dish, God, we're turning our heads to you and we ask you to point it directly, Lord, to you. And we thank you, God, that we are able to receive communication from you for a few reasons. God, because you made us and you know how to talk to us. But more, God, you poured your spirit into us and we are able to receive from you. In Jesus' name, I want to ask God, Lord, specifically for people who are tired this morning and they just need a word of comfort from you. But they need it from you, God. I pray in Jesus' name this morning, God, that you will hear and see their desires, Lord. And that you will, when they sleep at night, God, you will drop your dreams in their spirits. That they may dream dreams, God, and they may see visions and receive prophecies because you love them, in Jesus' name. As we're standing here, I'm just going to read a scripture from Colossians. And we're just going to remember the fact that God so loved us that he gave his son. We're going to have communion together. And you might be a visitor in this church this morning. I say that you are welcome. This is the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's not our table. It's a place where we meet the Father and we remember that Jesus, the Son of God, died on our behalf so we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We remember the fact that the Lord bought us to himself with his blood and brought us near to him. So this morning, if you're a believer, you are so welcome to partake. Doesn't matter from which church you come because we're all part of the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness and he transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's just remember that. And if the ushers can please hand out the communion emblems. As you're waiting for it to come by, don't you just want to remember the day in which you were saved? Just remember the day in which you for the first time believed that Jesus took your punishment and your sin upon himself so that you can be acquitted of all your guilt. Just remember that day. Remember what happened. Sometimes it's a bit painful to remember who we were before we came to Christ. But just remember what the Lord saved you from and how he's still busy saving you. I remember I was 14 years old, I think. Standard 7, just on the 22nd of January. And we were in a church, very small church, evangelical church. But I remember we were in that church for maybe 2 months already. And quite a few times, the Dominee was preaching. He was really delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he made it clear. And something in me every time that he made an invitation to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, that quite a few times, and my heart was pounding within me. My heart was like, I think most of you can remember that. And he was like, you know that God is speaking to you, and but you're too afraid because you're there with your cool brothers and with your dad and your mom, and you don't want them to know that you're a sinner. It's funny. They obviously know it the most. And I remember I just put up my hand, and afterwards, the Dominee's wife, Dominee Danie se vrou, she came, and she actually just, very simply, I was a young man, so she took that book with the pages, the colored pages, the red and the black and those, and just very simply just expounded to me the scripture, and I knew it already, but I just remember the day that I really received Christ. I really believed, and I asked him for forgiveness, and I asked him to receive me. And after that, I remember that after school, I obviously lost it in the Air Force and in the university. I walked away from the Lord, But again, the Lord was faithful and he brought me back. That's why I'm shofar today. It was about 14 years ago. So it's a whole by a long, 13 years ago. So it's really awesome. So today, everyone has our own stories. But we have the same Savior and the same problem, the same solution. So let's just break together and remember that Jesus' body was broken so we can be healed. And let's eat together. Jesus, we as a church this morning, we remember, Lord, your body which was broken for us. That you were wounded for our transgression, Lord, and bruised for our iniquities. That the punishment of our peace was upon you. And by your wounds, Lord, we are healed, Lord. Remember, God, the brokenness in our bodies, Lord, and Lord, we remember the times, God, where we were sick and we cried out to you, Lord, and you healed us, Lord. You sent forth your word and you healed us, Lord. Remember the days, God, where we were broken and anguished, God, because of a fear or because of stress, God, or because of a heart being broken from relationships or disappointment, Lord. And we remember, Jesus, that all our anguish was upon you. The peace, Lord, was that for us, Lord, was upon you. And we remember it, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we are part of the body of Jesus Christ, Lord. And today, we say to you that you are the bread of life, Lord. You are still the bread and the substance of our life. We remember you, Lord. Lord, we remember, Lord, your blood, which was shed for the remission of all sins, God, all our sins, Lord. That the wrath of God was completely vented upon you, Jesus, and that's why you bled. We remember it, Lord. We remember, Lord, that we were once far away, far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, like we read now, God, transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the light of the Son, Lord. We had a change of citizenship, Lord, and because of your blood, Lord, we've become partakers of your nature, partakers of your holiness. We thank you, Lord, that more than that, you went way more than that, Lord, and by your blood you bought us, Lord, and you appointed us kings and priests, and we shall reign with you, Lord, forever. Lord, we drink, we say that there's life in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord, we are alive because of you, Lord. We will live forever with you because of this covenant, Lord. We remember your sacrifice, Jesus. And we are thankful this morning in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. Dankie, Here. Vader, ons dank dat u die een is wat Jesus vir ons gegee het, voor ons u gesoek het. Ons weet, Here, dat wat u begin, u sal volëindig. So, Here, ons net sê vanoggend, U wat alles vir ons gegee het vanoggend, het ons weer eens het bevestig, Here, dat alles wie ons is en alles wat ons het, behoort aan U. En ons is dankbaar, Here, dat U ons eerste gesoek het en tot U self gekoop het. Wees verheerlik, Here, geniet ons, Here, in Jesus' naam. Dankie. Here, seën julle. Julle moet 'n baie, baie lekker dag hê. Ja, as julle wil, ander klap vir die Here, is julle baie welkom. Dankie. Dankie, ek het regtig lekker met julle gesels. Julle is baie maklike mense om voor te preek. Lekker, Vredel is baie geseend met julle. Die Here seën julle.